Good morning, everyone. Pastor Paul here. I want to welcome you here to Hope Chapel. Thank you for the very first Sunday in the year 2019. Isn't it exciting? Somebody said we have never been this far before. Isn't that true? Don't you feel like just trailblazers? Amazing. And what an exceptional month of December. So many great things were happening, not only from spotting out excellent talent that we had on New Year's Eve, then those dedicated people praying from 12 midnight to 1 in the morning. I'm telling you, there was a lot of uniqueness going on here. And then just the ability that we have so many great people that know how to cook and prepare meals from multiple potlucks. So I'm feeling well cared for. I'm sure you are as well. Well, it's been an exciting pursuit on what God has for our church. And I want to just thank you for continuing your faithful prayers and support. It's been excellent in a number of fashions. One, I can't wait till next Sunday when we get a chance to introduce three new council members that we'll be ratifying during our church business meeting. You'll be seeing and knowing a little bit more about them next Sunday. Also, five new missions committee members. We're excited to introduce those individuals to you as well. How excellent the Lord is to bring a great outreach director through Zach Iflin and his wife, Karis Iflin, who's overseeing our children's ministry. The excitement about having these young leaders in our church is really excitement to Ainsley and me. You know, next month we'll be here 17 years. And so we need a little spark, sometimes a little, come on, let's get it up and get it going one more time. And these young individuals, the Iflins, the Lews, the Mansours, the Van Skyocks, these couples, if you can get a hold of them and say, hey, can I buy your lunch? Can I take you out for a cup of coffee? I'll tell you, it'll be worth it to you. You just take a look at, get connected in the staff, see who they are. I'm grateful for distinguished, mature leaders as well, how the walls continue to be with us and are a part of our staff still, even though we launched them at the Life Pacific to help train up our next leadership. But these young leaders that we have, this is an exciting season in our church as we continue to move forward with what God has. So I want to encourage you to say, well, how come I have to buy their lunch? Well, let me just remind you. Since Ainsley and I have been here 17, we're pretty much established. We know how to budget our income stream, and the church has been so kind to us all these years. That's why we stay here. We love you. You love us back. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But these young leaders, these newlyweds, these young families, they're on a shoestring budget. So I just want to highlight. I know, I'm sure they won't mind me talking about them to you like that. So you say, well, I think they ought to take me out. They could use sometimes a little perk, a little benefit, a little databoy, and you will enjoy interaction with them. You will enjoy that, what God is doing in our church. Well, I highlight the exceptional things that God's doing in and among us, and I want to bring to our attention now our new theme. You'll see on the front of the bulletin, it's right there in black and white. But in regards to our theme, we'll break it down for you a little bit. But let me just go, as you can see here, do we have it on there already? So making a difference in 2019. But because I know we have some of you saying, I can't wait to be a member this month when we step into that. We do membership Sunday once a year. We really don't make a big deal about that. We just take the book of Acts chapter 4 that God added to his church daily, those who are being saved. But it's strength to you to say, this is my faith family. That element of community is so important. So for you who continue to say, hey, what is Hope Chapel like and what is its DNA? Let me give you a little bit of the history here on our themes, kind of walking through history. Some of you have been with us during all these seasons. So let me go over the themes. I'll just read them to you, and maybe it'll strike a chord saying, I remember that. That was a good one. Oh, yeah. Hey, how about that one, too? 2003, we started. 2003, the theme was growth in me in 2003. Giving Christ more in 2004. Keeping prayer alive in 2005. healing the sick in 2006, handing out heaven in 2007, fasting with faith in 2008, scripture is mine in 2009, equipping the next gen in 2010, eliminating leaven in 2011, serving Christ well in 2012, growing in a team 2013, seeing the unseen in 2014, multiplying life teams in 2015. Are you still with me? Yes, you are. Giving honor and esteem in 2016. Some of you still have your little buttons you still wear. God's kingdom seen in 2017. And this last year, God's love seen in 2018. Well, this year we have making a difference in 2019. This is the time it does not rhyme. That's going to be our that's the first difference. It's out there, okay? But making a difference, and it's found in Jude 20. I'm going to encourage you to find Jude, the epistle of Jude. It's a very short epistle. It's only 25 verses, very small. It's right before the book of Revelation. You can't get lost there, right? It's right there. Let's take a look. Father, thank you for opening our hearts, helping us to see what we're all about for these next 350 days in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting to note that our theme, Making a Difference, talking about that, how that each person has such a keen opportunity to make the difference in the life of another person or a group or a community or your family. That I really believe the compilation of all the themes I just read can be really bottled into the one area that as you and I step into areas even beyond this church, because you're all so faithful and consistent and good-natured and contributing, but how about those that are not walking with the Lord, not experiencing what you experience with the Lord, how you can make a difference in their lives? How that those times where you just say, I'm going to step in there and maybe give a little more of my time over here, or through teaching, or through giving, or through praying for somebody, how that really impacts somebody's life. Why is this theme so important, I believe, at this time? This theme could have been probably a highlight, would have been a way to describe this thing, would be keeping positive in a negative world. You know that the element of maintaining a good outlook and a good pursuit of just happiness is helping and focusing care for somebody else. Carl Menninger, who is the founder of Menninger Clinic, it's an amazing thing. A doctor would subscribe his remedy to those that would come to his clinic because they're deeply depressed. And that depression, he would describe and then prescribe how to go about being set free from oppression, depression, even sometimes suicidal tendencies. He would not direct them to a psychologist. He would say, this is what I want you to do. You go home and then put some things together, step out of your house, lock the door, drive across town, find a person in deep need, and help them. That's what he told them. How focusing off of yourself started to give breakthrough for an individual. Now, we live in a very negative world. If you have not been aware of that, then you weren't really paying attention to 2 years ago when we had the presidential election. It seems to continue to fall out there. How to stay positive in a negative world? And making a difference is going to be very healthy to you. So when we deal with the area of our self-centered universe, let's say, our society is very focused on self. That image of selfie. Let me describe, because we have a video clip I want you to see. David Brooks is talking about the selfies in this age, the characteristics. So if you take a moment, it's a 3-minute clip, and he describes what we are facing and why this theme, making a difference, can even be challenging for you to step out and help somebody else. Here we go.
We live in a world of social media. You broadcast yourself, you go for likes. I was sitting next to a young woman on the plane who spent the 2 hours of our flight looking at her phone, looking at videos of herself, pulling faces, a level of self-interest that is unusual. And we've had a generation, a shift in moral philosophy from a culture that said you're broken inside, you have to work on your own weakness. We've gone to a culture that says you're pretty wonderful inside. And the cliches of what we tell our young, follow your passion, be true to yourself, trust yourself, love yourself, have created an enlarged sense of self. We've told a couple generations how great they are, and they've believed us. And so in 1950, a polling organization asked American 16-year-olds, are you a very important person? And at that point, 12% said yes. They asked the same question in the 1990s, and at that point, 80% said yes. Psychologists have a thing called the narcissism test, where they say, I'm going to read you a bunch of statements. Does this apply to you? And those statements include things like, I find it easy to manipulate people because I'm so remarkable. Or, somebody should write a biography about me. I love to look at my body. And the median narcissism score has gone up 30% over the last 20 years. And with this has gone an increased desire for fame. Fame used to rank at the bottom of what people wanted out of life. Now it ranks second or third after financial security. And so junior high school girls in the U.S. were asked, would you rather be a celebrity's personal assistant, Justin Bieber's personal assistant, or president of Harvard? And by 3-1, they'd rather be Justin Bieber's personal assistant. Though to be fair, I asked the president of Harvard, and she would rather be Justin Bieber's personal assistant. But the more serious effect is that people lose the capacity to conduct a sophisticated moral conversation. I don't think people are necessarily bad, but I think they're morally inarticulate. A sociologist named Christian Smith asked people, can you name your last moral dilemma? And 70% of them couldn't name a moral dilemma. They'd say, I pulled into a parking space, but I didn't have any money. We can tell by looking at all the magazines, all the newspapers, and all the books that get published, what words are being used. And over the last generation, economic words have been rising in frequency. Moral words have been dropping. Gratitude is down 49%. Humbleness is down 52%, and kindness is down 56%. We're just talking about this stuff less, and we're talking about economics more. And so we live in a romantic culture. We think we're wonderful inside, and the problems of society are outside. And the people of great character, it's not because they have great self-discipline. It's because they have an amazing ability to commit to other things. The eulogy virtues are the things they say about you after you're dead, whether you're honest, courageous, straightforward, capable of great love. And we'd all want to lead a life where the eulogy virtues are more important. We'd all want to be remembered for those. But we live in a society and certainly an educational system that spends a lot more time on the CV virtues. And a lot of us are more clear on how to build a good career than how to build a good inner character.
So it's interesting, as we take a look here, we certainly have an age of self. Everything appears to be all about us, our self-realization, self-determination, self-focus. There's even a magazine called Self. And so when we start taking a look at making a difference, what would that require to go beyond ourselves and to start focusing on other people? As you realize, selfies, and you're aware that a selfie is really where a person takes their smartphone and takes an image of themselves. Typically, they're wanting to let somebody know, hey, this is who I am. It's also to describe, hey, where I'm at this time and, hey, who I am with and how good I look in these settings. And so selfies are big. You say, well, how many selfies are actually taken? Well, if you were to guess, let me just help you with this. There are, on an average, each year, worldwide, 93 million selfies taken in one day. So people are interested in themselves, and they feel they want to display what that's all about. The millennials, and I'm not picking on any particular age, we can certainly take a look at that, but a millennial is classified as age 18 to age 34, that a millennial will shoot a selfie of themselves 25,700 times in their lifetime. So 25,000 selfies. Now you can imagine why the iCloud needs to be upgraded to hold more pixels, huh? So when we take a look, it's interesting. A narcissistic element to that can actually be very dangerous too. It's not just, hey, don't you know there's people out there that might need you, but it can be dangerous when people take selfies. It was shown that more people have died by selfies than they have from shark attacks. Are you aware of that? Because they're taking a look at a selfie, trying to get the proper image, and if you haven't, do you remember the one where the woman stepped over the edge of the Grand Canyon taking a selfie, and so kind of forgot where they were. So it's interesting. It can be dangerous. Just thought I'd throw that out there in case you say, what's all that about? So we can be overwhelmed sometime by ourselves. So taking a look at this new theme, making a difference, it's going to require us to say, okay, how much am I into myself? And sometimes not even be aware of the needs that are around us. Let's take a look at the first point, making a difference in life. In Jude verse 22 is our reference there. In Jude verse 22, literally just says this from the New King James, and some have compassion, making a distinction. Old King James, and some having compassion, making a difference. So when I read that, seeing that, I said, wow, that sounds great. Making a difference. And referencing that particular passage, because I just love verse 20, but you, my beloved, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and keep yourself, verse 21, in the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some, having compassion, making a difference. Jude is writing here. He's one of those writers at that time. It's a very relevant epistle for our day and age because he starts off writing so good to the Christians. A very noteworthy, flowery epistle, verses 1 through 3. Starts talking, all of a sudden it kind of hits the fan. Oh, yeah, there are these false prophets that are out there. So a little bit of that background of the epistle of Jude, he starts to address that. Take a look, as Jude, a bondservant, verse 1 says, of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you, beloved. Talking to Christians. While I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. So all of a sudden he's going to shift courses because he's going after three groups of people. First of all, the false prophets, those antinomianism that was prevalent in that day. Anti means against. Those groups of people were against the law, the Old Testament. You can find those individuals still today. They'll literally say, hey, since we're all saved by grace, don't go telling me what to do. I'm a freewheeler. That's that teaching that was out there. I am responsible to no one. I really answer to no one. Hey, we're all saved by grace. Then there was the Gnostics that were in that time of Jude's writing, and they believed that everything materialistic was evil. Therefore, Jesus didn't come in the flesh because that's evil. Only the unseen is the pure and the holy. Well, that was not a good teaching because Jesus actually did come in bodily form. And so that was against the church. And the third was those who are wavering in their faith. That's where he started. One translation calls them those who start to focus in on doubting. And always seems to be those who are weak in their faith are the ones that the false prophets really go after. Peter, in his epistle, when we were going through it a while back, remember he was talking about how the false prophets seduce the unstable, sometimes the very young in faith, the ungrounded individual, the grumbler. Man, the false prophets go after those. So he's dealing with that. And then he says, but you, beloved, man, keep yourself pumped in faith. Make sure you pray in the Holy Spirit, which means pray in tongues. And keep yourself in the love of God. Be careful about that things. And on some have compassion. Those that seem to be kind of waxing and waning and a little bit unstable, have compassion on them, making a difference, even with them. And then he gives a great doxology, wraps it up. So when we look at this, our element of making a difference, isn't it wonderful what the Lord does in our lives and in our society and the way things are working? The marks that we see of people, great people, in this church, and you are those great people. Society overlooks great people. They recognize famous people, but see, you're the great people. You're out there doing things and helping people. And this year, making a difference will require some of us to get out of our self-centeredness. We talked about what that is. I don't need to explain what that word means, self-centeredness. It starts at a very early age. The story about a mother who was making pancakes for her 5-year-old boy and her 3-year-old boy. And as they're about to enjoy the first two pancakes, who among the two are going to enjoy those pancakes? They started fighting, the 5-year-old and the 3-year-old. So that good Christian mommy used that as a teaching time and said, well, listen, dear children, if Jesus were here, he would say, I'll wait and you have, my brother, the pancake first. So the 5-year-old turned to his brother and says, okay, Mike, you be Jesus. Many times our self-centeredness starts in such an early age. So when we look at this area, why would we want to focus once again? What are going to be some of the challenges, reasons why we need to be careful to defer from ourselves? Because society needs to have somebody like you step in and make a difference. Letter A, some points of reference, because selfishness is all around us. It really is. It's all around us. Just that alone, if you step in to help somebody or address something with somebody, you're going to right there make a difference. Right there. It's like instant transformation. Doesn't take much for that to happen. Because so much a part of our world, people would try to coach you to say, take care of yourself. Hey, you're number one. Don't worry about them. They'll make their way. Letter B, because selfishness is opposed to Christ who is in you. Remember when you received the Lord, how you just realized all of a sudden you realized I was forgiven so much. I feel like my life is starting to come back in order. And then all of a sudden, something may be required a little bit more to maintain that healthy spiritual life and pursuit. How that selfishness can resurrect itself and say, well, I don't really need to read my Bible. I don't really need to pray. I think you can always tell how much we rely upon ourselves by how much we pray. Because usually we just kind of go for it. So when we deal with this area, selfishness is opposed to Christ. Yourself will always be in opposition to those things that involve Christ and his work. So to make a difference, wow, right there, it's like, I want to really, as we were so encouraged by Pastor Zach, man, whatever we do, let it be to the glory of God. And letter C, so important, because selfishness hurts the family by you. I know, we know, together, doesn't take much for somebody even within your immediate family to say, when is she going to get with it? When is he going to do it first? Then I'll jump in. Or even siblings. The amount of conversation, even during the holidays, why don't you call home? Tell them you forgive them. I am not. They need to call first. Isn't it amazing how that will withhold making a difference? Because selfishness actually hurts family that's right by you. Not only your family biologically, but your faith family, your spiritual family, your church. I don't feel they need my help. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And let me just highlight, well, we just welcome David up to the keys here. I'm going to pray and lead us in prayer in a moment for our theme just before we have communion together. But it's interesting. You'll see if you look at your bulletin and just glance down at what we call the life group questions. And you who are watching online, we'll make sure that these are there on the notes when you jump on during Tuesday. We'll have them up and running. But let me read some of these. These are scriptural, really, approaches when making a difference, just to highlight those things, to help you to say, what does that look like? First of all, don't remain silent. Speak out. Never know if you were to just speak and help somebody, say, let me show you, there's a better way of doing this. You say, well, they might not receive it well. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. You don't know. Don't let that self-focus saying, well, it may not be well received. Speak out. It'll help somebody. Give to charity. Third one, serve others. Helping does a lot, doesn't it? Everybody says, well, thank you for doing the dishes. Those kinds of things make a difference. spread the gospel. People need saving. And good news is still the way through Jesus Christ. Show the good so people will glorify God. How many times, I think I'm a good person. Well, is that true? Well, man, go out and show it. Let your good works be seen. I like the Epistle of James. He says, hey, you got faith and I got works. I want you to show me your faith by your works. I'm going to show you my faith by what I do. So good works. Be a co-worker with God. Philippians 2:13, it's God in you who wills and does his good pleasure. So let God work with you. We all did an element a couple of weeks back about learning to listen and hear voice from God on direction for our lives. Be a co-worker with God and enjoy that. Keep doing good and reap results. I'll tell you, don't stop doing good, even if it costs you. Where people stop as they pursue their new life in Christ, they say, you know, it's really getting hard these days because I just keep doing what I know to do, but I keep giving, I keep applying myself, but nothing's changing. Don't stop, Galatians 6:9 says, because in due season you're going to reap. And then never, ever say you can't. Isn't that true? Remind not only yourself, but tell somebody else. Pick it up. You're responsible. Let's do it. You can. Let's go for this and bless and provide for others. That's an amazing thing. Everybody likes to be a recipient of some form of blessing. Wasn't that fun praying for each other this morning? Wasn't that great to have somebody pray for you? For some of you, it may have been the first time you experienced it. I hope it was first time here at Hope Chapel. That'd be great. When did that take place? I experienced something like that at this place called Hope Chapel. And finally, pray for others. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray always for others, especially in the Spirit. Wouldn't it be great that our morning chapel prayer, 6 to 7, where you say, you know what? I don't need to focus on my self-interest of more rest. I'm going to go pray for others. And that our attendance swells from 6 to 16 to 60. Wouldn't that be awesome? Then you go off to work or study. That would be very, very changing of the climate. That's going to make a difference for sure. Well, I want to pray now. Let me pray. And as I pray and ask the Lord, Lord, use our theme to remind us to continue on in making a difference in 2019. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We're so grateful for your hand in our lives and the way with which you're working to bring focus, not on ourselves now. We all have a measure of health and healing. But Lord, for those that are around us, those we know, people that we realize we need to have compassion on, like you, Jesus, have had compassion. Lord, help us, and may this year here at Hope Chapel and beyond, Lord, may this church really make a difference in the lives of many and in the homes and business, in our community, in other nations, but more importantly, Lord, people that we know, our family, our friends, help us individually make a difference with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to encourage you right now. Let's have communion together. Let's start this New Year's off fresh. And those who are helping me serve communion, would you come forward at this time? I'm going to welcome you to have communion with us. If you've never given opportunity to have communion, all it requires is to really receive Christ as Savior and Lord. So with that, let's all wait till we've been received our cup. Then we will come back. I'll come back. We'll lead us in prayer and enjoy that communion together. You who are watching via live stream, why don't you go ahead and grab maybe something for bread, element of juice, and let's focus in on the gift of Jesus Christ and how that gift of Jesus Christ brings salvation, eternal life. Let's serve now.
Beneath the cross of Jesus Christ, no shadow remains for shame to hide. Redemption shone for all to see, perfection bore our penalty with a grace so glorious. Immortal day, the veil was torn. When mercy donned a crown of thorns, as law gave way to liberty and freedom for humanity, with a grace so glorious. And oh, the glory of the Savior's love, surrounding our surrender to
communion elements. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. What a great word. I like the element, if there's been any comfort, any consolation in Christ. Isn't that how that experience happened to you when you gave your life to Jesus? Wasn't there a comfort that came? Wasn't there a consolation, a soothing, an element that really benefited you? And as Philippians 2 is describing, as you have been comforted, don't forget that. Because then you'll move forward in that secure environment. God is my comfort, consolation. To be mindful of other people's needs. It's so helpful when you realize, wow, God has done so much for me. Let me help and take care of you. And then the balance of chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And you know how it goes. Took on the form of a servant and took on death for you and me. Wow, that's a real sacrifice. That's a real point of humility. So as we separate our communion elements, go ahead and take your wafer. We're going to have that wafer first as we hold it up. And Father, we want to thank you for healing in our lives. Lord, all of us have benefited because of the cross and resurrection. Jesus, you've accomplished much and continue to do throughout this whole world. Now, O Lord, as we just thank you for our own health and healing, that Lord, thank you for putting our lives together so that we can help somebody else. May this year be some of the most outstanding and strategic. Benefit others because you have brought health and healing to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and snap that wafer and participate together. Let's go ahead as we lift that cup. The reminder of the Lord and how he has shed his blood for us. That's significant because I don't think any one of us want to pay for our own sins. Not any one of us can really save each other. We need a Savior. He's come. His name is Jesus. So the beauty is if there is areas where we feel insecure, lack self-worth, Just remember, you're important enough for Jesus to come and die. Even if you were the only person, he would still come. His love for you is that involved. Therefore, ask big when you ask, because everything else that you might ask, whatever that is small potatoes. Great is his love for you. And he wants to keep you squeaky clean so the Holy God come and be with us, dwell with us, Emmanuel. So, Lord, as we hold our cup, thank you, Lord, for the beauty with which we can say, Lord, please forgive me those things that I stumble in, that I find myself stepping into. And above all, Lord, the way I constantly am so much more mindful of my own self-interest, self-care, self-preservation, and find it so easy to let others slip and walk on by. Lord, may there be a renewing and a newness in all of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and participate. Just take a moment now. Just you talk to the Lord. You address whatever you want to address with him about this year, 2019. So, Father, we want to thank you. What a beautiful reminder how enjoyable it is to receive gifts and that gift of eternal life and how that continues to roll out in our lives. Let it be to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Would you join me for a moment? Let's stand to our feet. And as you stand, our ushers are going to gather the cups to the side aisles. I'm going to pray you off a blessing. And in so doing, we do have a few of our life group leaders that are here and our staff. We would love to have you. If you need somebody to pray with you personally about something, please let us. Please let us. And in the meantime, I'm excited. Let's see about signing up for life groups. Let's see about getting your annual Bible reader. Wouldn't that be great? Just see what it is to read 3 chapters a day. You will cruise through the scripture. I've got 2 of them. So with that, thank you for being here. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Once again, it's going to be a great year. And Lord, even as we begin next Sunday, the series studying Abraham, how his life made a difference for generations. Lord, we're going to learn some great things. Thank you for that. May it be, Lord, you continue to speak to all of our hearts this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy New Year, everyone. Thanks for coming. Year dismissed. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.